If you will trust in the Lord as your Savior, your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Acts chapter number 1, and I want to begin by reading in verses 6 through 8 of Acts chapter number 1. It says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth." I want you to notice the word witnesses in verse number 8, and I want to speak about that for a little while this morning to those of you who are already believers in Jesus Christ. And the title of my message is simply called Witnessing. Witnessing, and I want to give you three ways that you can witness for the Lord as a believer in Christ. And you might want to write these down and try to live by them. But you know, we don't have to do this in our own strength. Verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." For some people, witnessing is a terrifying thought. It paralyzes them in fear as believers in Jesus Christ. The idea of trying to share their faith with others and trying to get others in the kingdom of God. To others of us, it's one of the most exciting parts of the Christian life, to be able to talk to people and to see God's power incorporated into your words and to see somebody become a believer in Christ because of your efforts. And so I don't want you to be afraid of witnessing, and I want to give you three ways that you can witness for the Lord. Those of you that are already saved, we ought to really try to tell other people about what the Lord did for us. The Lord saved us from our sins. He saved us from going to hell forever. And man, that ought to affect us, and it ought to make us want to tell somebody else what's called the good news. The word witnesses here in verse 8, Jesus said, "And you shall be witnesses unto me," is a Greek word, martus, M-A-R-T-U-S, from which we get the English word martyr. You shall be martyrs unto me. We are supposed to, in other words, give our lives for the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean you volunteer to be burned at the stake or be crucified or something like that, but it means that you just give up your life for the sake of the gospel. And the Lord said any man or woman that gives up their life for, you know, for brethren and gives up mother and father and brothers and sisters and lands and so on for my sake and the gospel's, God promises to abundantly reward them in heaven. There's probably no better reason to live than to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ, to be a witness. Now, a witness is somebody who testifies of something they have either seen or heard. I don't know if you've ever gone to court. I've only gone once. I witnessed. I saw a car accident, a drunk driver run a red light and T-bone a dear lady and her husband, put them in the hospital, and I was called upon to witness what I had seen and heard, to testify of what I had seen that day. That's what a witness is. Now, if you have heard the gospel, if you have believed the gospel, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have heard something that most of the world has never heard before. And a witness testifies of what they've seen or heard. You can go to court and say, "Now, did you hear so-and-so say?" And we have heard the gospel, and we ought to testify. We ought to be witnesses. But we're not alone. This is the most important thing, I think, for you to understand. It might help alleviate some of your fears. We are not alone when we are witnessing. Verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." Notice the power of the Holy Spirit. You never go out alone. God, the very Holy Spirit, is with you to help you as you testify of what you know and what you have experienced. If you have experienced being saved, being born again, you have a story to tell so many other people that have never experienced that before. And the power of the Holy Ghost, God will accompany your witnessing. Let me show you an example of that. Turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter number 26. And then I want to give you three ways that you can be a witness. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 22. Having therefore obtained help of God. Stop right there. Remember what I just said? If you're going to witness, God will be with you. You're not out there on your own. God doesn't say, I'll stay back here at the church. You go out and I hope you do well. No, God goes with us. And Paul's about ready to talk about his experience as a witness. And what does he preface it by saying? He says these words, Acts 26, 22, if you found it. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing, both to small and great, saying none of the things and those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And here it is, the gospel. This is what he witnessed, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. In other words, he preached Christ, but he did so with the help of God. Verse 22, you're not out there on your own. God is helping you when you witness, and you've got to accept that by faith. Whenever you go out, you've got to say, Lord, you're with me, accompany me, help me, and give me the words to say, and then it's God's power that saves a soul. Wouldn't you like to see a soul saved through your life, through your testimony that you would take to heaven with you someday? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? I can't think of anything more important that we can do than to through our witnessing, with the help of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, lead somebody to Christ and take them to heaven with us. Too many of us today are afraid of offending people. We're just afraid we're going to offend somebody. Let me say this. It's better for a person to go to hell offended than to go to hell unwarned. They're going to stand before the Lord someday, every person on earth. We shall all give an account of ourselves to God. There's going to be a great white throne judgment, and everybody, it says small and great, will stand before God someday. And the books will be opened in judgment, and another book, which is the book of life, will be opened, and they will look for the names of people in the book of life. And if their name does not appear in the book of life, the Bible says, they will be cast into a lake of fire. At that judgment, if you have offended them, they will be glad you offended them. They will realize then you were their friend. They will realize then you tried to say something. You tried to give them a tract. You tried to persuade them to trust Christ as their Savior. The offended on that day will think highly of you. If you did not warn them, you will be their enemy forever. They will say, that person was a born-again Christian. They never told me a thing. They never gave me a tract. They were just paralyzed in fear of how I might respond. Listen, it is better they go to hell offended than that they go to hell unwarned. He that rebuketh a man shall afterwards find more favor than he that flattereth with his lips. And it's time we stop worrying about offending people if we approach them to try to get them saved. Why? Because some of those that we approach will get saved. Well, what if they get offended? Well, they will love you for all of eternity for trying. They really will. And they will regret that they didn't listen to you, that they didn't read the tract you gave them, that they didn't accept the invitation you gave them to church. They'll regret it. But they'll think well of you. They'll say, boy, he or she offended me at the time, but I wish I'd listened to them now. But if you don't warn them, you'll be their enemy forever. We need to be witnesses. Everybody in the church who's saved ought to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ and what he did for you. It's the greatest news on earth. Nothing is even close to it. And we've got to get to the point. Now, I'm not saying be offensive. Do you understand that? I'm not saying go out with a Bible and start hitting people over the head with it. I'm saying we can very tactfully, very kindly, very lovingly try to share the gospel with people, pass out tracts with a good spirit, talk to people, never be offensive, but the gospel is an offense to this world. The Bible has declared it, and you're not going to change it. You can't sweeten it with enough honey, but that'll still offend some people. Religious pride is the worst pride, and when we go up to people and say, your religion is not good enough, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, that offends them. It's going to offend some people. Other people, the light's going to come on, they're going to say, I never thought of that before. They'll trust Christ as their Savior. We have to leave the results up to God. But we've got to get to the point where we're not so afraid. And some of you that don't like soul winners because they're always offending people, just lay off of them. Let them offend the world. Just lay off of them. Thank God they're trying. If you don't like their methods, well, you just find out what method's better and you get at it. Just thank God for those trying to reach souls. There's three ways that you and I can be a witness. Number one is with our life. Number one is with our life. We've got to be a witness with our life. That means you and I that name the name of Christ need to be a good testimony. We need to be a good testimony to them of what a Christian is, because they're going to read us long before they read the Bible. They're going to read us long before they read the Bible. And we need to be a good testimony to them. By that I mean we need to be very careful that we are not hypocritical. People will overlook human imperfection. All right? But they won't overlook hypocrisy. There's a difference. Boys and girls can overlook their parents' imperfections very easily, but not their hypocrisy. Hypocrisy destroys people. Hypocrisy is when we declare and preach one thing and do the very opposite, and we're not consistent as role models in our example of what a Christian should be. Jesus warned us about hypocrisy. He compared it once to leaven. In Luke chapter 12 and verse number 1, he said these words. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In another text, he said a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of hypocrisy just ruins the whole testimony, is what he's saying. We need to be a good testimony. You know, in America, there are 96 million adult men. That's what the census says. There's 96 million adult men. Out of those 96 million adult men, 28 million go to church every week. Which I'm glad for that. A little over a third. But 68 million men in America do not go to church at all. But here's an interesting statistic. Of the 68 million men in America who do not go to church, 85% of them used to go to church. They used to. Let me say that again. 68 million men in America do not go to church. 85% of them used to while they were growing up. You know what studies have found of why they don't go to church anymore? You know what one of the biggest reasons is? Anyone want to take a guess? hypocrisy of those who say they're Christians and live the other way. Hypocrisy is extremely damaging. One of the best ways you can witness for Jesus Christ is by being a good testimony. Being a good example, being a good role model of what a biblical Christian should be, trying to become more and more like Christ. Lot was a hypocrite. He was a man in the Old Testament. He was a believer. He had a righteous soul, it says. He believed in the Lord, but he was a hypocrite. He took his family to live in a region called Sodom and Gomorrah, and there were some other cities of the plain. And it says the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. But he took his family down to live there, and he became very high up in the government. And it says he vexed his righteous soul every single day by seeing and hearing the things that they did. He didn't participate in them, but he took his family to live in the most immoral place that he could possibly bring children up in. As a result, he just began to wane in his credibility before his children, and he had no influence. When he went to witness to his children, it says that he seemed like one that mocked. When he went to witness to his daughters and his sons-in-law that lived in Sodom and to his wife, and he said, you know, God has revealed to me by his angel that he is going to destroy this place. The Bible says he seemed like a comedian to his kids, and they stayed in Sodom and Gomorrah and were destroyed. His wife on the way out turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. The other two daughters that did leave, he committed incest with them and birthed nations that would oppose Israel for years, hundreds of years. He was probably the worst father you could ever imagine in all of the Bible. Lot was a hypocrite, and he lost his whole family by his witness. Noah was as sincere as the days are long. He was a preacher of righteousness. It says he moved with fear to the saving of his family. He built an ark. He preached righteousness. He was faithful to the Lord. And because of his witness, because he had no hypocrisy, he saved every single member of his family. Lot, the hypocrite, lost his family. Noah, the righteous man, the one who took the hard path, who lived righteously and set a good example, he saved his entire family. Be a good testimony. This is one of the most important ways to witness at work, at home, at school. If you just be a good testimony, and again, God will help you. It's not like you're out there trying to do this in the flesh. The power of the Holy Ghost will help you at school, at college, at work, on your street, to your fellow neighbors, and so on. Now, what do I mean by be a good witness? Have a good attitude. Watch your behavior. Watch your words. Watch your spirit. I mean, there's just little things we can do that will harm our witness. You know, somebody says, man, it's a nice day out there. Yeah, but it's going to rain. You know the snow's coming, don't you? It is Western New York, after all. We have two seasons, winter and construction. You know, someone's going to look at that and say, wow, what a Christian, man. That man just has something I don't have. And he's like the salt of the earth. He's making me thirst for what he has. No, that person said, that guy's no different than I am. Right? If we're listening to the same music, if we're dressing in the same appearance as everybody else, did you ever notice everybody's half naked today? If we're watching the same television shows, same movies, and the same behavior and words, our attitude, our spirit. They see me nasty to my wife all the time. Boy, that's going to really help me witness to my neighbors, isn't it? folks, we've got to realize everybody is going to either spend eternity in heaven or in hell, and there's no other choices in the Bible. And people are watching us. Our example is a witness for the Lord or against Him. Jesus said, "He that gathereth not with me scattereth." Scatters people. We've got to watch our behavior, our words, our dress, and where we go, and what we see, and what we do, and what we don't do. Number two, with our lips. We need to be a witness with our life, number one. We need to be a witness with our lips, number two. Got to say something. Eventually, you got to say something. In Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But listen to verse 14 now. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It goes on, verse 17 of Romans 10, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now listen, I've tried to be a good testimony. I'm not always a good testimony, but I've tried to be a good testimony to my neighbors. I try to be friendly, try to have a good spirit toward my wife, my kids. I try not to do, you know, crazy things, sinful things. I try to dress right, look right, and so on and so forth. But I have yet to have somebody come up to me and say, man alive, I'd sure like to have what you have. Now, I think it has made some thirsty, some neighbors recently I've had conversations with about the things of the Lord. But we've got to do more than just witness with our life. We have got to witness with our lips. We've got to say something. We've got to say something. How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? Paul said to those at Corinth, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But on the other hand, when we preach the gospel, Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That word power is a Greek word, dunamis. We get an English derivative, dynamite. It's amazing how you can take that simple little story. And those of you that are soul winners have experienced that. You could take that simple little story like I did this week with a boy, and in just minutes, great Holy Ghost conviction comes upon them. And you're able to pray with them to receive Christ as their Savior. It's amazing. I've seen it so many times in my life. Any of you that have ever tried to witness know it's not you, but it's that old, old story, sometimes said the same way for the 100th time, and yet God inhabits those words with his mighty power as you exalt Jesus Christ. As you tell people we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is death, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I'm amazed at how quickly, how suddenly, and sometimes in just a matter of minutes, that person can be convinced by the Holy Ghost, I need Christ as my Savior. How can I trust in him? It's amazing how powerful the gospel story is. And that same power will accompany your witness when you learn to share with your lips to others how they can be saved. God'll use you. I remember times 13, 14 years old as a student at Orchard Park High School, where I would share that story with students I went to high school with and see them get saved. Just fascinating. And ever since, I sure wish I'd have done a whole lot more of it. But we testify. Witnessing is testifying what we've seen and heard. Be a good testimony with your life. Let your life lend power and credence to your message, to your lips. Be a good testimony. Now, don't wait till you're perfect to get started either. Let me just throw that in. Or we'd never witness. That woman at the well, she wasn't that perfect, was she? Remember her? If you don't remember, read John 4 when you get home. She had been married 5 times and was living with a guy. Right in the Bible. She'd been married 5 times and she was living with a guy that wasn't her husband. That's what Jesus said about her. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. And he went on and presented himself to her as the Christ, as the Messiah. And she trusted in him. And while they were sitting at a water well one day, she left her pot on the water well, went into the city of the Samaritans, and began to tell all the men in the cities of the Samaritans, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And it says a whole bunch of those men believed on Christ because of the saying of the woman. Then a whole bunch of others didn't, but they came out to Christ to investigate what in the world she was talking about. And then listening to him, even more got saved. Now, she wasn't perfect when she went back into the town. She just told everybody what she had just found out in her life. And God used her lips. God used her words. I submit to you, God can use you too, even if you're not perfect. Go tell somebody about Christ. Go find someone this afternoon and say, could I just tell you something? I got to get this off my chest, something that happened to me once. And see how far you can get with them with the gospel. We've got to testify with our life. We've got to say something with our lips. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 15. In Acts 8 it says that one evangelist named Philip ran to a chariot. The Holy Ghost said, go join yourself to that chariot. There's a guy reading the scriptures there. You don't know what he's reading. And it says he ran, and in Acts 8:35, he was reading in Isaiah 53, the guy was. And it says, Philip began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And before the story was over, the man trusted in Christ as his Savior. He said, I believe thou art the Son of God, to the Lord Jesus. And he was baptized that day too. Fascinating story about the power of words. The power of God goes with us. You're not alone. God will go with you. And he will use your words. Let me say number 3 in closing. Witness with literature. Witness with literature. In Psalm 68:11 it says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. Witness with literature. Get yourself some gospel leaflets, tracts, call them whatever you want to. We got them all over the church. Some John Romans. And pass those out and get them into the hands of people. Those tracts, unlike us, have no fear whatsoever. No fear at all. And they'll witness to anybody when we leave them in their hands. Use literature. And by literature, that's a very, very expanded word these days because we have so many things that have come out of this, like CDs and DVDs over here. You can't buy these things. Take them for free and pass them out. We don't care. All these messages over here, people can watch them. People can listen to them, pop them in their CD player. Almost every car nowadays has a CD player. Hey, listen to this when you go to work tomorrow. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. Get the word of God out. God uses the written word. God believes in the written word, doesn't he? He spent 1,500 years writing this down. God believes in the power of the written word. The gospel's in here. God's word, he believes in his word. Jesus one time said to the guy in hell, remember him? He was having a conversation with a guy in hell. And he said, send somebody back to tell my brethren so they don't come to this place. And what did the Lord say? They've got Moses and the prophets. What does the Lord mean? Let me paraphrase. They've got the literature. They've got the written word. If they don't believe the written word, they're not going to believe that somebody raises from the dead. God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's word is powerful. Get God's word out into people's hands. How? Stick a track in your gas bill, your water bill, your phone bill, your electric bill, your car payment, your mortgage payment, your insurance payments. Get used to sending out anniversary cards. Stick a track in them. Birthday cards. Stick a track in them. Christmas cards. Stick a track in them. Easter cards. Stick a track in them. Get well cards. Stick a track in them. A leaflet with the gospel. Everything you send out, put some tracks in them. God will use them. Go to the fairs. We pass out about 1,000 tracks a day in Dunkirk and Hamburg for 19 straight days. We really do. Go out on visitation. We had passed out 71 packets of information with the gospel and John Romans, books of the Bible, in those door hangers yesterday, 71. Go to the fairs, the festivals with Pastor Seth. They pass out thousands and thousands of portions of literature. Every summer. And if you can do it appropriate without breaking litter laws, you can leave gospel tracts in certain places. Now, you can't put them in stores. I know one guy was putting them in suit coat pockets at Walmart. And I got a call from Walmart. Okay, that's private property. You can't be doing that. All right? But did you know the Supreme Court ruled that freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of information is more important than property rights? Did you know that? The Supreme Court ruled that. The Supreme Court said it's more important that people have the right to walk up somebody's driveway and give them a gospel tract than it is for that person to say, this is my property, you're not allowed on it. That's the truth. Now, if they got a big dog out, big no trespassing signs, and big, you know, owner has a gun or something like that signs, like that, you might want to go to the next house. You might want to say, this person really is, you know, and if it's a closed, gated community, you don't want to be jumping gates, that kind of thing. But we still have freedom of religion and expression, and we can distribute the Word of God. And we can get the word out. I want to encourage you to use literature. And I'll close with this story. I wasn't saved through the ministry of literature. But my dad was. My dad was. So I was saved through the ministry of literature. You've heard this story before. Some of you, my mom died. I was only 4. My dad kind of went to pieces for a while and just started drinking excessively and couldn't really take care of me and my brothers, so we bounced around between our grandparents. They took good care of us. Thank God for them. Dad was struggling. He was able to maintain a job, but he was just drinking a lot. The loss of his wife just devastated him, just destroyed him for some time. My cousin Gary had gotten saved flying B-52 bombers over in Vietnam. Or his cousin, Gary, would be my great cousin. I don't know what you call him, but he knew about his cousin George, my dad, and what he was going through. He started sending gospel tracts back, from Vietnam to my dad. Two men my dad worked with put a Bible in his hand. So you need to read this. Alcohol is not the answer, George. Christ is the answer. He can help you. You don't have to go this way. And they would leave gospel tracts and literature around. And my dad would read those gospel tracts. It was his own testimony. He'd read those gospel tracts. He'd read the Bible. He'd hear their testimonies. He'd hear radio preachers on the radio while he was cutting meat at A&P. It all made sense to him. One day he was sitting out on a rock on Cazenovia Creek in Buffalo. All made sense, and he bowed his heart and his head before God and said, Lord Jesus, save me. Help me. They had trusted in the Lord. And I can't get over the fact that I had a new dad all of a sudden. Something radically happened, and my dad had changed. And he started taking us to church every single week. We were in a lousy church, a liberal Protestant church. About a year later, he said that this isn't helping my boys. He got us out of there, and he took us to a Bible-believing church a year after he got saved. My brother George, David, and myself trusted Christ as our Savior. When we heard the gospel in that Bible preaching church, I've never gotten over that. I said last week, and I meant it, by 12 years of age, I was a wreck of a human being already. I was just a wreck of a human being. Christ Jesus came into my life and has been changing me ever since. But it's because I went to a church where I heard somebody preach Christ. But that would have never happened if somebody hadn't been sending my dad some literature. Dad started reading the literature. Dad got saved. We need to witness with our life and be a good testimony. Be a good example. With our lips, we've got to say something. It'd be better if they went to hell offended than if they went unwarned. Don't offend anybody. Don't be offensive. But it'd be better if your neighbors got offended. It'd be better, listen, if your family got offended than if you were just so concerned that they like you. That you have nice Christmas reunions. No, you'd be better off dropping a bomb in the middle of your family and blowing the thing in pieces and getting a few of them saved than not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Don't be hitting your husband or your wife on the way over and saying, I don't talk about Christ. No, you encourage them. You say, you talk about Christ, I'll be praying for you. Our family needs to get saved. Doesn't matter what they think about us, they need to get saved. Let them think we're weird. Let them think we joined a cult. Let them think we're whatever. They need to get saved. And we need to witness with literature. Got a path to get something into some people still read today. And I know most of you don't think so. They're all, you know. But there are some people still read things. I see people gobble up anything and they'll just start reading it. Just start reading it. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to be a witness, Lord, for Thee. And it's not us, it's Your power, it's Your Holy Ghost. And as Paul said, having obtained help of God, I continue to this day witnessing both the small and great. I wish that was my testimony, Lord. It's not, but make us more like Paul. Lord, we've got to say something to somebody. We've got to, Lord. They have no hope. How can they believe on Him whom they have not heard? Lord, help us. Help us to be witnesses. As we stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and pianos begin to play a song of invitation at this time, if you want to just step out to the aisles and come down here and pray, God will help you to be a good witness. Won't you come? Maybe something in your life needs to change so that you can be that good testimony. I know I got to change some things too. There's things about my life and behavior I'm still working on. But people are watching us. They know how Christians ought to act. They know how we ought to look. They know how we ought to speak. They know how we ought to treat our wife or our husband. They know how we ought to raise our kids. Hey, they know we ought to pay our bills. They know churches ought to pay their bills on time. Maybe you got to make some restoration, some restitution. People, maybe you got to buckle down and bite the bullet and pay some bills. Or go to some people that you owe and say, I'm going to make this right. I promise you, I'm going to make it right. When Zacchaeus got saved, he said, Lord, if I've taken anything from anybody, I will restore them fourfold. I'm going to get it right. That's a good testimony. How's your testimony today? Why don't you come and pray? God, help me to be a good Christian. Good example. I put moodiness in the bulletin today as a sin that we need to get victory over. Because that moodiness turns people off. Up one day, down the next, up one day, down the next. They never know what we are. Dr. Jekyll or Dr. Hyde. Would you come and pray for God's power about your life, your lips? Are you saying something or are you afraid of offending everybody? Man, you gotta say something. My dad thought Cousin Gary was nuts for a while. But I'm glad Gary didn't care what he thought about him. He thought he'd been in Vietnam too long. Cracked up, lost his mind, got religion. He got Christ is what he got. And I'm glad Gary didn't quit. And the rest of our family thought he was nuts. He paid the price. And a whole bunch of us in the Cole family are saved now because he blew the whole family up with the gospel. We're still divided. But more of them are coming over and getting saved as the years go by. Witnessing with your lips. What about literature? Can you take tracts, put them in letters? Find excuses to write letters. You find out someone's got an anniversary, send them a letter. Everywhere I go, I see these posters about people having benefits for somebody who's sick, and I write their addresses down. Send them money. Send them a tract. Brother Frank up there in the sound booth, when he goes to fill up his car for gas, a lot of times he'll take a $5 bill, stick it in the gospel track, and give it to the guy who's pumping his gas. You can leave a huge tip in a restaurant, huge tip, the gospel track. Waiter, waitress will take that and maybe consider the claims of Christ. Some have gone out to be talked to as we're closing. If you need Christ as your Savior, would you just step out to the aisle and go to the back, go to the front. Somebody will meet you there and show you how you can be saved.